Guys, the big games here. Super Bowl 59. The Kansas City Chiefs against the Philadelphia Eagles. Everyone's favorite team. The game that everyone wanted. Just kidding. Unless you're a KC or even an Eagles fan. I don't know about you. I'm not really excited to see a three-peat in the NFL. At least not with these Chiefs. Not with this team. I'm a big Saquon guy. So, go Eagles, go. First, we talk a little bit about the game, different aspects, me, Aaron, and Jason, offense, defense, special teams, coaches, you know, who got the edge. Then we talk some Super Bowl prop bets. Aaron picked out 10 for us to follow. I challenged him to pick a few more of some value, so we're going to be posting those up on X. So be on the lookout Saturday night, Sunday morning for additional Super Bowl bets that you can put your credit card, your little extra cash on, because it's going to be coming. But before we go into the bets, we get a little distracted. We kind of, you know, it's late night when we recorded this thing. Jason's on Monster. I'm on Celsius. We're on Cloud 9. We're on something at 1 in the morning when we're recording the pod. So we get a little delirious and talk a little sports radio growing up in Southern California in the 2010s for some reason before we jump back into the Super Bowl talk. So without further delay, sources from the sofa, Super Bowl 59 edition. You don't want to miss this. It's a really fun pod. Don't go anywhere. This is it. It's me with the guys, Jason, Aaron. We are going to go over the Super Bowl, talk about some prop bets, who we got winning, all that good stuff. It is a rematch from the Super Bowl 2 years ago, where the Eagles looked like they were going to win, and there was a mysterious holding penalty that gave Kansas City the opportunity to steal a victory. It was very New England Patriot-like. A lot of these calls are very New England Patriot-like. You can call it however you want it. If you don't think the refs are a part of it, I think you might be full of shit. You got to wash those eyes and get them cleaned. Because I'm going to be paying really close attention to see how many holding calls are going against that KCO line. But anyways, I digress because we'll get into that. This is going to be really exciting. Kansas City is, man, they've had a couple of rematches for a couple of teams. The 49ers to now the Eagles. This is like the ninth time in the past 12 seasons that the preseason Super Bowl favorite has reached the Super Bowl. The Chiefs were 5-1 favorites, and 9 out of the past 10 have covered the spread. The only team that didn't cover the spread were the Rams when they beat the Bengals in 2022. So they're going to be playing New Orleans. Chiefs are favored by 1.5, over under 48.5. It opened at 49, so went down just a little bit, and every expert on every media channel platform is basically picking the Chiefs to win it all, to complete the coveted three-peat that has never happened in the history of the NFL. Guys, where do you want to start?
Well, I think looking at the matchups of the game itself, you have an Eagles team, depends what stat you're looking at, but they're the number one ranked defense in the league in the regular season. So you're going against a Chiefs offense that wasn't impressive all season. You know, they got by pretty much by their defense and timely scoring versus, you know, overwhelming offenses of the past with the Chiefs. Running game defense has really been the Eagles' MO. Overall, defensively, least amount of yards allowed per the game. I think they have the second least amount of points scored. Touchdowns overall, I think second least in the league behind the Chargers for that aspect of being. So you got a pretty much lockdown D versus an offense that hasn't done a ton. They've been, I don't know, smoke and mirrors to a degree with Mahomes. And if you're going to go into what Rome's trying to allude to here, they've gotten the calls when they've needed the calls when it came through. And, you know, every bounce of everything seemed to go their way, including if Harrison Butker was going to hit an upright, it hit the upright and go in versus, a couple of those games this season. So, Saquon Barkley, we've talked about him all season from the Eagles' perspective. What is he going to be able to do in this game? I know we'll get to some prop bets a little bit later, but if you're looking at like rushing defense, you know, Chiefs top 10 in the league in rushing defense, you know, they're, you know, that's a slight competitive edge, I think, over the Eagles' defense, but that's really been the strength of this Chiefs team, has been able to prevent teams from, you know, getting anything going on the running game. But on the passing side, you know, they've been kind of middle of the road. They're 18th overall as far from a passing perspective, but they tighten up when it gets into that red zone. Because from a scoring perspective, they're like the number four scoring defense in the league. So they're going to allow you to play between the 20s and get into the red zone, but they're not going to allow you to score. And that's going to be, what can the Eagles do inside the 20 in the red zone? How they're going to use Saquon? Can Saquon hit the big home run where it becomes irrelevant of how they tighten up in the end zone? And then Jalen Hurts, you know, where is he going to be able to find those openings? I think you've seen him shine the best when teams start overcommitting to Saquon and allows more stuff that he can do. Jalen Hurts can down the field to Devontae or AJ Brown.
Yeah, I mean, the Eagles, Jason, like you said, defensively, they've been really good all year. Both teams have. I mean, Kansas City's defense has carried them a number of games. The offense has looked a lot better here over the last month or two, getting, Hollywood Brown back healthy. Pacheco's come back in the lineup, used in a limited fashion. But Marquise Brown has added the dimension to this offense that they expected to have early in the year. Obviously, he got hurt in the preseason. So Kansas City finally scored over 30 points in the last game, the first time they did that all year. So, I mean, the formula for me looking at the Chiefs is, can you score 30 points against them? I mean, they hadn't been able to get to that benchmark all year. They got to that against Buffalo. Philadelphia, what are they giving up, like 17 points a game? They've been really good here in the playoffs too. Shut down the Packers, shut down the Commanders and Jaden Daniels. Rams did some nice things against them, but, you know, they got the big stops and the turnovers were needed. Saquon again, can he hit the home run? Will the Chiefs be able to stop him? I mean, the Chiefs defensively, you've been able to run on them. Joe Mixon had a good game. James Cook, second half, it was all him really for Buffalo. They got him going. You know, Saquon's going to get a heavy dosage. Can they mix in the play action and, you know, get some passing? They're going to get a lot of one-on-one coverage. You know, the Chiefs like to play man-to-man. You know, Spags likes to bring the blitz on second and third down. If the game is tight, you know he's blitzing. There's no gimmicks. You don't know exactly where it's going to come from, but he's going to blitz. He's not going to sit back and just, you know, play coverage. So you know you're going to get blitzes. You got maybe the best offensive line in the league. Saquon's really good at picking up pressures on the blitz too. So can they get the Jalen Hurts in plays to where he's not, you know, having to make, big third and eights, third and nines, you know, keep it third and two, third and three, so he can use his legs too and run. That's the dynamic they've had. Last time these two teams played, it was a 38-35 shootout. Questionable, you know, late hold there against Juju. It was, I mean, it was ticky-tack, but ticky-tack by all measures.
Yeah.
I mean, 8, 9 out of 10 times, that's not called a penalty, and just play on. I mean, the Chiefs were still going to get a field goal there regardless. There's a lot of factors in this game. I mean, defensively, offensively, special teams, coaching-wise. I mean, if you look at it, I think Philly has the edge almost everywhere except probably quarterback and head coaching. I mean, defensively, they're a little bit better. Offensively, I think they're a little bit better. Special teams, I give the edge to the Chiefs. They've been really good. The return game's been good here. But it's going to come down to, you know, executing, not turning the ball over, And special teams is going to play a big role in this game, obviously. So every game the Chiefs have played in the Super Bowl has been tight. The Eagles have been in the Super Bowl, what, say, three times over the last 20 years. All their games have been really competitive and close, dating back to the Patriots era. So, I mean, we're looking at another classic, come down to the wire, final 8 minutes, two, three possessions here that are going to probably decide this game.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting about the rankings overall for offense, at least. Eagles were second in the NFL in rushing with 179 a game. In the playoffs, they bumped up those numbers to the 227. Whereas the Chiefs, yeah, go hella down. 105 during the year, and it's dropped down to 92 in the playoffs. That's a difference of 130 yards. Passing is where it's a little interesting. Eagles are down below. They were the fourth worst team in the NFL at 187, and it's 138 in the playoffs. Chiefs, middle of the pack, they were 222 in the regular season. It's dropped down a little bit. Most of the teams drop down typically. They're down to just under 200. So overall, Eagles, because of the running, they got the slight edge on offense, but it's going to be really fun to see who wins that defensive line of the Chiefs or the offensive line of the Eagles. Saquon's definitely going to find those holes. Got to believe it.
Yeah, it takes one linebacker and a missed assignment or getting, you know, caught up on a chip block or something like that. I mean, we look at, I'm getting my week confused, but was it either 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago? Whenever I think it was in the, yeah, it was the Washington game because it was Bobby Wagner. And in that first play, like, Wagner takes the right approach to the hole and gets just delayed ever so slightly by someone getting his defensive lineman pushed back, and just Saquon just had the open lane, and it just takes one, you know, missed assignment like that for Saquon to really make some damage in the open field. And then he's just so much harder to get down, you know, from a secondary, you know, player. So it'll be interesting. The unfortunate part, I think, going around this game.
Yeah.
We talked about the matchups, how close the spread is, how evenly matched they are. You know, it's going to come down to a call. And I think that's just going to be what the game is going to be known for, because it's going to be so close in every which one of the game. And some call that's, you know, it's a shoelace difference. It's a ticky-tack call that could have gone either way, but we'll say it's soft or something like that. That's what it's primed to be, the outrage after this, especially if it goes the Chiefs' way. Especially if it goes the Chiefs way, where everyone's going to be talking about it. And it's just how razor thin probably the margin for error is. And this is where the human aspect of the game is going to come into play.
Yeah, I think the referee aspect, since we've been talking about so much and it's been brought up by every team that's played the Chiefs, this might be one of the games where the referees swallow the whistle, and maybe it's a call that should be made that's not called, where they just are like, we're just going to let them play. Maybe the Chiefs get the bad end of a non-call just because the referees are just like, we don't want to be a part of like the controversy. Like, hey, it's 50-50 or 60-40. Let's just let it play on. I mean, going back on Saquon, I mean, like you said, Jason, I mean, if you take the wrong angle, this guy will make you pay. I mean, this speed to get through the hole there is unbelievable. An interesting stat, the average running back, I think, gets contact about a yard into a play. The Philadelphia Eagles are like at 2.1. They're like double the league average before a running back even is contacted by a defender. I mean, so you take a wrong angle. Even if you take the right angle, if you're over pursuing because you see a play coming, Saquon can cut back real quick on you, make a big play there. I'm hoping it doesn't come down to a referee call here where it's, you know, a ticky-tack penalty. Let them play out unless it's really, really obvious. I mean, I know the NFL supposedly on roughing the passer calls and other penalties, they're using their in-game replay where they can supposedly let the referees know that that's not a penalty and they can overturn it. That might be something that comes into play here. So we'll see what happens. I mean, again, we're hoping for not any controversy when it comes to the referees.
Yeah. Let's talk about the offenses real quick. Let's start with the Eagles side. Nick Sirianni's leading the way. You either love him or you hate him. We talked a lot about him this year. Guy's fucking nuts, but you know what? I'm starting to love him now.
They were like you, Rome, if I'm being honest.
I don't know what that means.
He swears off alcohol every week, too?
I haven't drank since last weekend. I don't know.
I mean, I think you came on the show Monday, Rome, and said Sunday night was a long night for you. So we'll say 3 days. We'll give you, what was that, the 72-hour window?
I didn't go out Sunday night. I went out Saturday night.
Okay. Into Sunday morning, though, right?
Yeah, I didn't get home until like 5 in the morning.
Okay, yeah.
Thought I'm at the low of my life. You can't blame me. I'm single. I'm trying. I'm still trying to learn here. Anyways, back to offenses. Last time they were in the Super Bowl, they were led by a different offensive coordinator who now coaches the Colts. Kevin Moore has definitely turned it around. Like, that's where they kind of looked a little deadpan last year. I thought he's turned around the offense really well. Well, both sides, right? Huh?
Kellen Moore.
Oh, Kellen Moore. What did I say?
Kevin. I believe you said Kevin.
Kevin? Is that what it sounded like? Yeah. And so they have a lot of weapons. You know, Saquon Barkley has obviously, you know, transformed that whole offense. You know, he's just a juggernaut. But A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, you know, lots of weapons for Jalen Hurts to take advantage of. Jalen Hurts has had his fair criticisms. Philly's like hit or miss on him. If you like read the message boards and stuff like that, you either like him or you hate him as well. But this guy has been winning, and he hasn't been passing the ball all that much. They're not asking him to do a lot, but he showed that he can do both in the air and with his legs, and you know, audible at the right times to give the ball in the right hands at the right time. So, who do you guys give the edge to when it comes to offense against defense? I don't know if you guys want to talk about KC's offense now, but at least from this standpoint, going against KC's defense, they don't make a lot of mistakes. This unit has been carrying Kansas City now for, what, 2-3 years? That's what brought them to the Super Bowl last year. And then back-to-back years, Jesus Christ, I'm just drawing a blank right now. Kermit the Frog. I just forgot Patrick his name Mahomes. Right now. Patrick Mahomes. You know, he didn't play great last season, the regular season, or this year. But in the playoffs, he just turned it on at the right time. And they went for a Super Bowl run. And this year, good games here and there. He's been working with the rotating door at running back and wide receiver. Now they got some guys back. They're using guys that no one else won in the league, where they traded them away or they signed somewhere else in the offseason and they came back. Smith-Schuster, Kareem. The list goes on. So how do you guys like each offense going to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, it was an interesting year for Hurts because I think when he displaced Carson Wentz as the starter of this team and then they added A.J. Brown to the mix. So I guess really going up to the last Super Bowl appearance, like, hey, it's a guy that was going to be the future and is the future of the team. But with Saquon this year, it's been like, okay, you don't need to do as much. We can rely on the running game. And, you know, it's a timeliness of passes. You know, he got hurt. Was he out for a couple of weeks or something like that? So when you look at the overall stats for him this season, I think he only had like 2,900 passing yards or something like that. So it really wasn't something to write home about, but you know, it was a blueprint to win games and scoring the timeliness. I think on the Chiefs side offensively, like you get rid of Tyreek Hill a couple years ago, everyone pretty much says, okay, that's the end of, you know, the Chiefs dynasty at that point. At that time, where they only have the one Super Bowl and lost the Super Bowl to Brady, what it's going to be. And now you've completely kind of flipped the script where, as Rome, you mentioned, the defense has carried this team. But offensively, they just have found a way. I think I mentioned in the season preview about Kelce, like, hey, we'll see a couple pops from Kelce throughout the year, but it's going to be not until the postseason that they turn it on. And like they're going to find all the creative ways for this guy to get the ball. And it's pretty much been the story majority of the postseason. And yeah, they've been able to just take, you know, guys, I don't want to say off the street, but you mentioned Kareem Hunt. Hey, wasn't on a team in camp. Bring him in after you lose Pacheco and he puts up 700 yards and is a valuable back there. I think they, you know, they got Pirine that got released by the Broncos, put him in some situations, you know, in the passing game out of the backfield, you know, so, and then they get Pacheco back. And now, hey, we're just mixing and matching in the backfield. You don't know what look you're given. You've had Juju Smith-Schuster, you bring in Hopkins, you know, you had Sky Moore and stuff throughout the year. Just they're able to kind of plug and play stuff, and Mahomes put them in positions, but like they're not relying on the big home run from Tyreek. They're able to methodically go down the field and play a field position game. And yeah, they probably have more punts than they did when this offense was putting up, you know, 35, 40 points a game. And it seemed like any deficit was always like never safe because they were to storm back and score right away. But now, hey, we're going to slow the game down, rely on our defense, play the field position, try not to turn the ball over. I think it's just, it's a different way. It's not overwhelming. And I think the Eagles have done similar styles where, hey, we're going to control the ball in the running game. We got the best offensive line in the league. We lost Jason Kelce and seemingly replaced him with maybe that somebody better at center. Some have said, I don't know. But the offensive line is just as good, if not better, in years past. So, hey, we'll lean on the strength. We'll own the clock. We're going to, you know, we can talk about that, the Notre Dame game where they just, what, they took off like more than half of the first quarter just methodically going down the field. You know, the Eagles can do that if they want, but then also hit a home run in the running game at the same time, too. They can do either. So there's just a lot of different looks both can give it. But, I mean, we'll get into the, again, we'll get into the props a little later, but they both have the, they both have the ability to make the Super Bowl kind of boring too, because you could say we're going to have these long drives and we're going to waste a lot of time and everything goes to third down and or everything goes to fourth down and we got the tush push and things like it could be a boring old Super Bowl where it's like, you know, 13-10 in the half or something like that, and it's just these long drives that took a lot of time. Like, totally could see that potentially happening. Because these teams would want to control it.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at what the Eagles like to do defensively, they don't give up a lot of big plays. Remember, that was kind of the downfall last year. I mean, they were 11-1, but their defense, they changed what defensive coordinators midway through the season. They weren't ever really in a groove offensively. Gellen Moore comes in there. Say what you want. He did a great job with the Cowboys. They had a top five offense four of the years that he was OC there. You know, Mike McCarthy didn't like him, or maybe felt pressure that he was going to take his job there, moved off him. Huh. He went to the Chargers for 1 year. Herbert got hurt. Allen got hurt. Williams got hurt. The Chargers were a mess. They went 5-12, made a coaching change there. So then he lands on his feet in Philadelphia. And, you know, with Jalen Hurts, you know, Kalen Moore's like, hey, look. Early in the year, he kind of pitted on Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts was turning the ball over a lot. I mean, those first five games, he had a ton of turnovers. I think the Eagles were like 2-2 after the first 4 weeks. They lost that game, Rome, you were here, that Monday nighter against the Falcons. They got blown out at Tampa Bay. People were asking what's wrong. Sirianni was on the hot seat. And then Saquon just started like going off from there. Like, they became the number one running team. They run the ball more than any team. They got back to what they do best. Hey, we got the best offensive line. We got the best running back in the league. Let's do what we do best. And then their defense picked up. The Chiefs, Tyreek Hill is not there. So what does Andy Reid does? He gets veteran players that fit the scheme, fit the system, that are established players that can make plays when they need to. I mean, D. Hopkins, Rome, you mentioned they trade for him. He comes in.
I forgot he was on the team.
He plays well. Juju signs a 3-year, $30 million deal with the Patriots and Bill Belichick. Doesn't do anything there. Now he's back. He's back with the Chiefs. You know, they go out. They get Hollywood Brown. Arizona gave up on him. Baltimore gave up on him. All of a sudden, he looks good. And then they mix in this wiry Xavier Worthy, 165-pound, 4.240. And they run end-around reverses and all kind of trick plays and, you know, get him in motion and try to confuse the defense. And then Kareem Hunt, he was supposed to be this great thing with the Chiefs, and he gets that, you know, legal trouble, goes to the Browns, plays hard, comes back now to the Chiefs. Jason said 700 yards. He probably got like 10 or 12 touchdowns. I think I read Kareem Hunt has a touchdown in every playoff game he's played in. Six touchdowns, six games.
Really?
Yeah, I saw that stat earlier. And then, you know, they just go out. Kelsey's Kelsey. Big games, he steps up. He was big against Houston. Buffalo took him away. And then they went to, you know, Juju and all the other veterans. Xavier Worthy had, what, two touchdowns in that game.
Everyone so stepped
Andy,
up at the right
Andy
time.
Reid, you know, he just – he knows how to put players in position to make big plays. And then if you're Philadelphia, Jalen Hurts, you know what you're going to get from the Chiefs. You're going to get a lot of man-to-man. They're not going to play zone. That helps the quarterback. A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, a lot of one-on-one coverages. I like the Goddard matchup against the Chiefs linebackers. They're kind of getting older. They're kind of getting slower. A.J. Brown, you got to like him one-on-one against anybody. He's got speed. He's got strength. And
yes,
Devontae Smith, if you fall asleep on him, he'll run by you. I mean, he's legit 4.2, 4.3, 40 speed. He's kind of had an off year, but, you know, this game's indoors. It's going to be on turf. So it's going to play a fast game, which I believe benefits the Eagles because I think they're a little quicker out wide out and at running back. So they should be able to get some explosive plays on offense.
Let's switch to defense. Philly, they got a couple second-year pros, Jalen Carter and Nolan Smith. Then they got those rookie DBs, man, Mitchell and DeJean, just locking down the perimeter. Vic Fangio has done a great job of mixing in seasoned veterans and the young guys. And as Jason mentioned, man, they are the top-ranked defense in the NFL. KC, I think you already talked about this, Aaron, a little bit. Getting a little bit older in the linebacking position, but they got some solid Ds and linebackers. And weren't they playing like a rookie in corner this past game or no? Or am I thinking something else earlier in the year?
Can't remember.
They got a lot of young guys at corner.
Yeah.
Both teams do, really. Both secondaries are really
but
young.
They got Steve Spagnuolo. And so two really smart guys leading both defensive fronts. Let's talk about edges, I guess, because we can talk about the same thing all day. Who do you give the edge to on offense? Who do you give the edge to on defense?
Man, I will say on defense, I'll probably give the edge to the Eagles. Just on where they have been the entire season, you know, controlling the line of scrimmage, really not allowing the big play to happen, as Aaron kind of talked about. But, I mean, it's a thin margin. Offensively, I'll give the edge to the Chiefs, which is kind of contradictory as I go thing. And I think the pure reason of that, the home run is Saquon. But I think the X factor in the offense is Mahomes, where he's not needed one player to hit the home run. It can come from anywhere, at any time, to anyone, which, you know, it could be more Kelsey. But we talked about all this cast of characters that could be in the game where Juju Smith-Schuster gets a 54-yard catch out of nowhere, and it's like no one's surprised. And I think that's the unpredictable thing about the Chiefs offense that can go there, where we're probably just waiting for Saquon to have someone make a mistake, where Mahomes is going to put you in a position at any point in the drive. So I don't know if that's the, and now I'm alluding to the matchup is going to be Eagles defense versus Chiefs offense. And yeah, that's the matchup that decides the game, because if they're able to control Mahomes and don't allow something like, don't allow him to extend, you know, don't allow him to make something special happen, that's probably the key to the game.
You know, every time I see Smith-Schuster open for like a 40-yard game, he's not that fast. This guy might be like the slowest, fastest receiver in the NFL. He just looks like he's carrying like 50-pound bricks on him. But yeah, he takes like these wide angles, still able to get another 10, 20 yards on these receptions. He doesn't get too many because he doesn't break off from the defender really fast very often. But every time it does, it's just always fascinating.
I mean, he's a crafty veteran. I mean, yeah, he's been in the league probably, what, 8 years now?
Well, I liked him when he was on my team. Now, yeah, I don't like him.
I mean, yeah, going back, I mean, defensively, I'm giving the edge to the Eagles. I think they're going to come up with a good game plan to really keep Mahomes in the pocket. I mean, they can't let Mahomes see. Mahomes, I think I read another interesting stat. If he runs for 40-plus yards, like, he's 7-0. They don't lose.
It's a 40-yard mark.
So he ran pretty well against Buffalo. What I like with Philadelphia is they're going to get a lot of internal pressure from Jalen Carter and Greg and Davis coming up the middle. They're the old Georgia Bulldogs.
Yeah.
That's really the key.
That's right. They just drafted all Georgia players.
I mean, they basically have their whole D-line is basically Georgia's dominance from the early 2020-21.
Everyone's like, what the hell are they doing? But it's worked out.
Yeah. I mean, Nolan Smith Jr. is a really good player.
Yeah.
He comes off the edge. You know, he got hurt towards his end there in Georgia. He didn't play his rookie year, too. I think he had, like, a torn pectoral or something. But the key is not over-pursue from the outside on the rush. That way Mahomes can't go around you. And then, like I said, I think Jalen Carter is going to bring a lot of pressure up the middle. That's going to make it tough for Mahomes to step up and get, you know, because that's what Mahomes likes to do. He likes to step up and then sneak out to the pocket and run. So I agree. I mean, and Vic Fangio, say what you want. He's been a D coordinator basically in this league for, like, since we were born, it seems like. He's always had great defenses. Harbaugh had him there with the Niners. You know, the Dolphins last year, whatever, you know, chemistry didn't match. They moved off of him. Jason just mentioned, you know, the Bears. So, I mean, this guy is a great DC. He's going to come up with a good game plan. He's going to limit big plays. He plays a more conservative approach, a lot of kind of zone man mix, not a lot of blitzing, but selective on his blitzing. So I do give the edge to the Eagles defense. Offensively, I'm going to disagree with Jason. I'm going to go with the Eagles. I just think that offensive line is so dominant that Saquon, just such a big home run threat. I mean, you mentioned it, Rome. He can go 10 carries and get 20 yards, and then boom, 40, 50 yards, he's gone.
He's a 2 to 3 yard guy, and then all of a sudden he'll break off for the 60 yards.
And if you're not disciplined, or like Jason mentioned early, if you're late on a pursuit or over pursue, cut back and get you. And with Spags, you, like I said, you know what you're going to get. You're going to get a lot of man to man, and you're going to get blitzes on 3rd and 4, 3rd and 5. Like, there's not going to just be sitting back and playing coverage. He doesn't come out with a conservative approach. So if you can pick up blitzes, you know, Spags like to show blitz one side, come the other, kind of mix and match. If you can pick those up, you're going to get a ton of one-on-ones. And I like Brown. I like Smith. I like Goddard to be able to win all their matchups. Not all the time, but more consistent than not. And the big plays are there. So, I mean, when's the last time the Chiefs really threw a go route 40, 50 yards down the sideline for just one-on-one route? I mean, they'll throw them every now and then to Xavier Worthy. But Brown, Smith, they usually get 2 or 3 a game. I mean, Brown's dropped a couple here in the snow against the Rams. So, I mean, when I look at it, I think the Eagles have the edge everywhere, except most importantly, maybe quarterback. Obviously, Mahomes, I would pit over Hurts. But, yeah, I give the edge to the Eagles' offense. That offensive line is just what they are. They're done. They can just take over a game. Can they control Chris Jones? Can he be a difference maker? To me, I think Jalen Carter is going to be a better difference maker in this game versus Chris Jones. So we'll see how it plays out. But I give both edges to the Eagles' offense and defensively.
All right, real quick. I don't know if you guys are down to take a break after we talk about special teams. Then we'll come back with some bets. But who you guys give the edge on the special teams?
I think Aaron already... Well, I don't want to just quote Aaron. To me, it's probably the Chiefs in this game. I think you look at Harrison Butker and where he's at and from a postseason perspective, and he's, you know, fairly been automatic where they've been able to go. You know, could be in other aspects of special teams if you're talking about the punting and stuff like that. But, you know, in a margin so thin, having the better kicker in this could play dividends, and I'll give it to the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to the Chiefs special teams. Harrison Buckner, Jake Elliott struggled. He's made kicks, but he's missed extra points. And the Chiefs' return game has been great. So this is interesting. The Chiefs' return game, what their kick returners done, what, two kickoffs or punt returns beyond the 50-yard line that kind of changed momentum in games. But the Eagles have forced two turnovers on kick returns, one against the Packers and one against the Commanders. That's interesting to keep in track here, but I would agree. I mean, Buckner's he's almost automatic in the playoffs, but Jake Elliott, you know, will he step up? He did step up in the snow, but he's been missing extra points. But yeah, I give a slight edge to the Chiefs special teams.
Nice. You guys ready to do some bets?
Yeah.
Cool. Let's take a quick break. FYI, we are recording this pod Wednesday night after midnight. So today's podcast is unofficially brought to you by Celsius on my side and by Monster Energy sugar-free.
Zero Ultra.
Shout out to Sugar-Free and Pomona, man. Good songs, man. He sings some good songs.
Sugar-free. I saw him live a couple times. And let's not forget, today's Aaron's birthday.
Well, it was. We passed beyond that point there. Yeah,
happy birthday.
Appreciate it, guys. Appreciate
I was
going to
mention the beginning of the pod, but I was already frustrated just talking about the Chiefs.
That makes a lot of people frustrated.
I got flustered. So we're feeling a little energized up now. Jason entertained us with some old school Shawn Michaels music. Him and Aaron dancing during our break. So now we're back, better than ever, pumped up.
You told me to break it down.
Break it down.
Break it down. So, time to pick our bets and time to talk about some prop bets from Mr. AT himself. So he gave us 1, 2, 3, 4.
I think a dozen.
Looks like
or 10. 10? Yeah.
Yeah. It looks less than a dozen, but.
Yeah, I think 10.
It's 10.
10. Yeah. So should we just go from top to bottom? Is that how should we do it, AT?
Yeah, let's do it, man. Jason's ready to, since you can't read the list, he's ready to give it out.
I can read. I got it blown up.
All right. Tom Likas. Blow me up.
Dude, I miss that show.
I do too, man.
That was a really good show. I you know what? I sent an email, I think last year, like, hey, would you consider doing a podcast? Try to get him on. Maybe he might. Maybe we should try that. Get
it's the Godfather, man. It's the Godfather.
He's the Godfather of what though?
I guess what Friday or just late afternoon talk radio, AM radio.
It has to be like a section
that wasn't
for that.
Sports related.
He wasn't AM. He was FM.
Yeah, FM. Yeah, you're right. 97.1.
But he did. Was he pre Howard Stern? I think he was, right? Just not as popular. I think there's like a little angst about that. A little.
He wasn't as syndicated, right? And then he didn't go the XM route, right?
It was probably too real.
Yeah. I mean, he was famous in LA for the, I know we're getting off topic, the old Flash Friday.
We are
headline
going
talk,
so
right?
off topic.
I don't know. You're talking about old radio guys. I just remember Aaron and I, you know, listened to radio. We're listening to Mad Dog's Morning Madhouse on Sports Talk Radio in the morning on the way to school.
Oh, that was
school.
You guys, huh?
That was us.
I think Aaron told me about that, Mad Dog.
Out of Chicago, man.
Out of Chicago, man.
It was like, I got no sports programming. Let's just get a shock jock DJ out of Chicago just talking random stuff.
Yeah, we would mix that in the morning. I think Cowherd was on in the morning, right? At that time on ESPN?
Cowherd used to be in 6 in the morning.
The Herd was 6 to 10, man. That was the staple. You know, for us driving out.
So
to
like we would go back and forth between commercials and slip over to the
Jim Rome was my guy.
Yeah, Rome
was the afternoon, but on the way to school, you get that early morning. You listen to the Herd and you listen to Spanning the Globe, and then we were switching over to Mad Dog.
Who else was in the morning though?
They brought in Dan Patrick after that when he left ESPN, and then
because I didn't like the Herd for a while.
Somebody else. I mean, the Herd replaced Kornheiser, but that was before.
Oh, no.
That was when we were in high school.
Yeah.
But
I think it was Mike and Mike in the morning.
I mean, yeah, ESPN. It was before the Herd. I mean, if you were waking up at 3 a.m. Pacific time to listen to Mike and Mike, but
Yeah, there was Mike and Mike. They had Hurd. I think Jim Rome came on and the now calling time spot like 9 to 12.
Yeah.
You remember they had a TJ Simers and Rogan on there in a little while too.
Aaron, I never did that one. I just couldn't stand
you guys
the
remember,
LA guys.
I think they had in the afternoon. I don't know if Jason, the what were they called?
Petros and Money?
No, before Petros and Money.
Oh,
PMS.
The loose cannons. Our guy, Vic the Brick, bro.
VTB, man. Vic the Brick's the man, dude.
He's
Vic
on Brick Mad Dog Radio now on Sirius.
Okay. Yeah, it was Steve Hartman, Vic the Brick, and Michael Thompson.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, man.
Steve Hartman.
Steve Hartman was... I like Steve Hartman because he wasn't afraid to like go against like the local teams.
Yeah.
Michael Thompson was always like a Laker apologetic, and like Hartman would just be like, Michael, what are you doing? What are you doing? It's time to press the panic button. It's time to press the panic button. And VTP was like, tranquility. Tranquility, guys.
Vibes. There's just vibes.
Do you feel it? Do you feel it? Kobe the Mamba. His hair is on fire.
Which one's the Laker station down there? Is it 710?
It's 710 now. It's 710 now, but at that time it was 570. It was 570 when Michael Thompson and them were on.
Who was the ESPN afternoon guys?
Mason in Ireland.
Yeah.
Mason in Ireland.
I do
Ireland
not like
still
Ireland.
Does Lakers, right? Ireland does radio for the Lakers, right? Play
He's
by play.
Just too pro Laker, even when they're doing bad. It's like, God, dude, just
Where's
shut
Mason?
Up.
Is he gone or is he still there?
Where is Mason?
I thought they still had the show, but I'm out of the local LA sports radio.
I don't listen to ESPN radio anymore, so I can't tell you.
Can't say either. They're definitely on the Sirius version.
I mean, I know 570's got Dan Patrick, Colin, then Rogan and Rodney, and then Petros and Money. That's the lineup that I know.
I get none of those. I don't miss it. All right. Back to Super Bowl talk.
All right. We delved into local LA radio here.
We just gave you a recap of basically FM radio of Tom Likas into the, like the last 20 years of sports talk.
Maybe we should just start listening to wrestling intros now to spice it up. Aaron Super Bowl prop bets. First one, both teams to score over 19 and a half. Looked like a 14. Over is minus 200 and under is plus 150. Aaron, break it down.
Yeah, so both teams to score over 19 and a half points.
I think that's a given.
If you like the yes, you get to minus 200. If you like the no, it's plus 150. I personally like the yes. I think both teams are going to score over 19 and a half. I like the yes at 2-1 odds.
This ain't a good bet, though.
It's free couple, you know, was it? How much are you going to win on this, Aaron? How much are you putting down?
Yeah, $1,000. So you can win 500, I guess. Okay.
I mean, these are.
You know, put down 100
odds
win 50.
Bad.
You know?
They're not bad. I mean, yeah. 100 right. win 50.
What's
you want
a, what's,
50
what's
to
free,
win 25, whatever
free
you're looking 50 for.
Bucks.
That's true. That's
I mean,
true.
If you like no, if you like no, I mean, 100 makes you 150. 1,000 makes you 1,500. So it just depends on which direction you want to go.
Yeah. I don't think the Super Bowl is lined up to be under 19 and a half on either team.
I like I like yes on both.
I like yes as well.
All right. Unanimous. Jalen Hurts over under half an interception. Over is plus 118. Under is minus 154.
So basically, yeah, this bet is saying, do you think Jalen Hurts is going to throw an interception? I'm going with yes. I'm going to take over half an interception. I say he throws at least one INT. I like the plus odds at plus 118. I'm saying, yes, he throws an interception.
Jason.
I'm going to say no, because I think they're just keeping it out of his hands the entire game and not allowing him the risks to be able to do it. I know it's probably not a great bet either at minus 154, what Aaron's saying on here, but I just think it's going to be a super conservative game out of him, and it's going to be easy completions is the only route they're going to allow him to go.
Yeah, that's a stay away from me. That's a stay away.
The old stay away.
I'm writing all of these down because like a stay away should count as a loss at this point. But
we should put stay away at how many stay aways does Rome have on these 10 prop bets at plus or minus? Let's just say two. plus two? Or minus two. There's one already.
No, I think you're going to definitely hit over.
No, so. Yeah, I was like, you got to put this at like 3.5.
Oh, that's a good one, actually.
I was going to say 2.5, but yeah.
That's why my percentage is so high. I hit when I hit. I know when to stay away. I know when to pull out.
It's like, yeah, I take the
you're the only
minus
one with a kid here, Rome, so I don't know. I think that the pullout's working for you, brother.
You know, it's just someone I thought I was going to stay. Actually, that's not true.
Rome's all in when it's minus 700 for whatever the yes is or whatever. Yeah, this is my lock of the week right here. No, or if it's I think I'm gonna lean upset on this. This could be my upset of the week, and then we near it, never hear about it again. And then when the upset does happen, yeah, my upset.
Just
right
pick
there,
a side,
you know?
Here, Rome. Do you think Jalen Hurts throws an interception or not?
I think if he does, they lose. Some say no.
All right, there you go.
I think
we got one yes and me and two no's and you guys.
What I would like better if it was like, does Jalen Hurts have a turnover? Is it a fumble or an interception? I think they get one of these for the game over under. If you can find that one up, I would like that prop bet better.
I would agree with that. I think there's a chance he fumbles too. I'll look to see if I can find that.
So
on
total
this, on the
turnovers,
site
I think they get one. More than that, it's game over. So I would like that bet a little bit better. So you looked it up while we go over the rest of these.
Well, I'm looking at the site I use. I'm sure there's other sites, FanDuel or someone has them. I'm looking up my bet site here. So I'm seeing if they have, I'll see if they have that. There's a lot of bets on this thing, so okay. It's hard to kind of scramble through here at 12:30.
Oh, yeah, interception's tough, but you know, if there's a bad exchange, which that would not, I would rather have an interception than a bad exchange, if that makes sense. I think a bad exchange just like takes the sales out of you. But in the meantime, Isaiah Pacheco, over under receiving yards. Is that right?
Four and a half?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
At minus 120 odds.
Yeah, wow.
I think we were talking about this one off the air before we even started the show.
I think you and Jason were, yeah.
Yeah.
Over minus 120. Under is minus 109. This is like deadlock even. That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, Pacheco hasn't been used a lot, but I personally love over 4.5 yards.
KC has done a really good job of like releasing these little wrinkles in their offense in the playoffs. I think that's why they look like shit in the regular season, and then they have like these little tricks and you know, tricks of the trade up their sleeves that they can pull out that no one has seen before. I like the over.
Yeah, I'm taking over 4.5 yards too.
Yeah, you unanimous. This is basically, do you think he gets a catch?
He's getting a catch.
Yes, and if he's getting a catch, it's probably going to be something out to the flat or a screen or something that's going to give him an easy like 5-6 yards.
I think the Eagles will be able to swarm Mahomes and fluster up a little bit, even better than what the Bills were able to do. And he's going to take advantage, and Pacheco should be able to take advantage of that as well. Saquon Broccoli. Remember that, Aaron?
Saquon, I do remember it, man.
Broccoli.
I mean, I'm going to take credit for getting Saquon where he's at right now. You've been eating that broccoli, bro.
I like a good broccoli that's like grilled.
Post some butter or cheese on it?
That's a little too much. I just like salt and pepper. Old school, a little squirt of lemon on it. I like dipping in the mashed potatoes with some fried chicken or a steak. Damn it, dude, this city's so fucking loud. Someone's yelling on the outside. It's probably this homeless lady just yelled at me when I was coming home earlier today. Do you have $20? Like, Saquon Broccoli, rushing yards over 114. Minus 114. That is really, really high. Under 114.5 is they're equal.
Same odds on this
what
one.
What the hell?
Same odds.
That is, dude, what's up with these prop bets that you picked out? Are you fucking with us?
That's what the time, whatever I sent you, 12 hours ago when I took a look at it, that's what the odds on it.
Are you smoking crack on your birthday?
Negative on that one.
Jesus. That's a tough one. I definitely like him getting over 85. I think that's my number for the game. 114.
114 is a lot. And I want to
say yes. I'll be rooting for him to get 150.
I agree, but I'm doing some quick off-the-cuff research right now, and I want to verify this is right.
Yeah.
Is Lamar Jackson the only person that has rushed over 100 yards against the Chiefs this year?
That in week right. one?
That can't be right.
Man. I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. I'm being the Chiefs.
Estime had 87. Jerome Ford had 84. Najee Harris had 74. Jaylen Warren had 71. Chuba Hubbard's had 58. It only goes down from there. That's accurate, I mean,
how good is their rushing defense? Do we have that ranking? Can I pull that up? I thought I just had this up right now.
Cook ran for 85.
You did. The Chiefs
Mixon
are,
ran for 88.
Okay. The Chiefs are with the 8th ranked rushing defense, so they allowed 101 yards per game.
Well, that's not a lot.
How many yards a game?
101.
Yeah, so that means that probably then, yeah, Lamar's probably the only guy that did it then.
Total defense are at 8th, 9th. Passing. Where are they in passing?
I guess when you're looking at this bet, and I'll just say I'll take the under because I think you're going with the trend, but it's basically, do you think Saquon gets a massive run that's just going to flip the script? You know, does he have a 74-yard run and then a bunch of small 2 to 3 yard runs the rest of the game to push you over? I just don't think the big playability is going to be there for how tight the defense is going to play. So I'll take the under.
Jason, could you look at the playoffs as well? Because, yeah, they were ranked 8th in the regular season. But in the playoffs, just allowing 101.8. But in the playoffs, it's been 148.
Yeah, 148 in the playoffs, and they've allowed 3 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, no runner over 100 yards.
That's pretty impressive.
Outside of what Lamar did in week one.
That's so very impressive.
Jason's on under 114.5. The trend tells you to take the under, but we've seen Saquon break out in the second half in a lot of these games. So I'm leaning over. I'm going to take over.
All right.
So I think that trend's going to break. I think he's going to – I mean, he probably leads the league in at least 40-plus yard rushing plays throughout the season. I think he's going to get one here in the Super Bowl. Chiefs are going to get worn down a little bit maybe. You know, over pursue a play, you know, get tripped up. Like we mentioned earlier, linebacker just can't fill a hole or a gap. I'll take the over 114.5.
Depends on how many times they run him. Saquon's going to probably have
his
at
carries,
least 10
his carries,
rushes.
His carries, for the, his carries for the over under, I think we're at 21.5. There was
That's
a
lot. Typically, he has like 14 to 18.
But Jason did say he expects a more conservative game plan.
I don't think so. It's Sirianni. I think he's going balls to the walls on this one. That's tough, dude. That's a tough bet. Thanks for putting that in there. Not a big fan. That's going to be a... I'm curious what the odds are like at 85. I'm leaning under. If you think he's running 20 times, so you imagine he'll probably get 12 to 15 that are just going to be going 2 to 3 yards. If you like his chances to go break one open for 40, which he'll probably get at least one, that'll put him at the under. But if you like him to do 2 of those, you know, and it breaks the game open and the Eagles run away with this victory, then you're definitely hitting the over.
Saquon's sitting at right now over under 21.5 carries. A number that's really high. I was thinking about pinning on is Jalen Hurts is at 9.5 carries.
Dude, what's up with these odds here?
But you got to remember, they do a lot of tush pushes. Those do count as carries.
Yeah, so. He'll probably get 3 or 4 of those in the game. And he'll definitely have at least 3 rollouts.
And some of those tush pushes, too, he's getting 2 to 3 yards, too.
Yeah.
It isn't just usually 1 yard. They move the pile.
Aaron's Green Bay team is trying to get it banned next year. You hear that?
No.
Your soft-ass Packers trying to ban the tush push, saying it requires no talent, no skill.
I'm a fan of the tush push, so I'm not going to sign that waiver or whatever they got going on.
You see people say that, but then you watched
the Bills. They couldn't do it.
Yeah, the Bills couldn't do it. I was like, that, but it's like, no, you need 5 offensive linemen that fucking move a defense. And
when it didn't work 3 times, I would have not ran it another 6 times in that fucking game. Probably cost them. All right, so Jason, you're under on the broccoli one. Aaron's over. I'm leaning on the under on this one. But I'm rooting for the over.
I really thought he was going to do a stay away, Aaron.
It's definitely a stay away from me. That's what a lean means, man.
No, you said under, so I'm putting it down.
It's a lean. We'll make him squeeze a bet out of every one of these. I mean,
a lean's not a loss. Guys are assholes. Nolan Smith Jr. sacks. We're gonna post this this yellow page on X. By the way, this is just too good, dude.
Do it, man.
Your penmanship is impeccable.
I thought it was one of my best of the year. Definitely my best at my new age. I'll put it that way, since it's my only one. But yeah,
for sure, no mistakes, no whiteout. I even like the $2 signs for bets.
Yeah, I threw that in there.
Nolan Smith Jr. sacks over half a sack plus 100. Under is minus 130.
When you do post that, Rob, I'll see if any of the viewers or listeners can find the at least one spelling error that I've identified in that.
Oh, shit. I knew there was going to be one. Hey, what? Is it I before E?
Except after C.
God damn it. It's like a fun like little crossword puzzle. We should always have one of these.
I keep you guys on your toes, man. I keep you guys on your toes.
I wasn't on the toes. I was waiting. We haven't got to it yet. If it makes you feel better, we haven't got to the spelling error yet.
Like successful. All right. Yeah, Nolan Smith. What do you guys got? I'm leaning on over on this one.
I'm going to agree. I'm taking over half a sack for Nolan Smith Jr.
Yeah, I think it's tough with Mahomes because
this guy just gets rid of the ball right when he's getting
gets
sacked.
Rid of the ball, like,
or people roughing the passer.
Yeah, people get scared to freaking tackle him because they're going to get a flag thrown.
It is fucking cold.
Aaron's
here.
Bringing this one up for a reason, so I'm going to say yes as well.
All right, that's unanimous picks, guys. We're halfway there. Successful 2-point conversions. Like just for just 1 2-point conversion, is that right?
Correct. At any one point in time, will there be a successful 2-point conversion?
I think that's really stupid. Yes is plus 180. No is minus 251. That's one thing I like about the NFL now. A lot of guys overanalyze everything and they'll go for 2 points. I like it.
I'm all in on yes at plus 180.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it too at plus 180. Yes.
Because what other game can you see teams go for 2 points, not get it the first time, not get it the second time? So they have to go for it on the third time.
Well, the Bills did go, what, 0-3?
Yeah, dude. Hmm. They could have got 3 points. That's the difference of the game. I'm not talking about the Bills game anymore. It's banned from the show. We're done.
Banned till August of next year? Or this year?
that game, I want to watch it again, but I already watched it twice and it just pissed me off the second time around. They lost it. Anyways, yeah. So unanimous again, right? 2-point covers. Yes. I like that bet, dude.
Yeah, plus 180. I really like that bet.
Put $1,000 on it. Win 1,800. Money in the bank. Total field goals made over 2.5 is minus 275. Under 2.5 is 180.
Before you get to that, Rob, if you were wondering in the audience, the last one was where the spelling error was at.
Successful?
Yes.
Yeah.
Missing
a famous S. Yeah, missing two S's.
Although, to be honest with you, it looks like S-U-C-E-E-S.
It could be that, too. Not Aaron's worst work, but just want to make sure. He's keeping us on our toes, making sure we're all good there.
That second C definitely looks closer to that following E than... Yeah, it's kind of like a combo.
Put it on X so you can figure it out.
All right.
Send them a free prop bet for whatever sport comes up next.
Total field goals made. That's a tough one. That's just like field goals, right? 3 points, not extra points.
Correct. Field goals.
The line definitely tells you this is an easy over, especially with how good the Chiefs defense can be in the red zone, allowing the yards but not the points. Overall, how great the Eagles defense is and tightening it up. I think it's a pretty easy over, personally.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, there was prop bets for 3.5 and 4.5, but 2.5 seems like the easiest one to get.
Yeah.
I like the over. I mean, it is, you're laying a bit of juice at minus 275, but considering we have two elite defenses, both pretty good in the red zone, I think we get at least 3 field goals in this game.
Well, what is it at, like 3 or 3.5?
Let me see if I can find it.
Because not a lot of value here at 2.5 if you're going to go over.
I'll look and see if I can find it.
Yeah, no worries. So while we go for like the Saquon or turnovers for Jalen Hurts and now field goals, KC total field goals. So you went back-to-back field goals. The previous one was made field goals. This is total field goals.
It's basically made field goals too.
Okay.
If you're saying over at 2.5 on total, I think it's an easy one for KC to go 1.5 too, personally. And if you're asking about the 3.5, Rome, I think it's an even better one. I don't want to tip my hand on who I'm picking to win this game too, but I think it's easy for Kansas City for me as well.
So 3.5 is minus 105 on the over and minus 135 on the under.
Hold on, say that again.
So minus 105 on over 3.5 field goals.
That's it.
And under is under 3.5 field goals is minus 135. If you want to go over 4.5 field goals, it's plus 220 and minus 345. So I think the best odds action, if you're really trying to make some money, is over 2.5, even though you're laying 275.
Yeah.
3.5 is risky, and 4.5, really no value in taking the under.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of that prop, dude. Not a fan. I'll go over, though.
So, Rob, you had over on both field goal bets?
I got the over on the other one. I'll even say over on the 3.5.
KC, you're over two at 1.5?
Yeah, they'll get two. I trust this defense to hold them to the field goals.
Aaron, you were over on both too?
Yeah, I like over. I think KC gets at least 2 field goals made.
Yeah, that's a two. I did, just the value on these things suck. Isaiah Pacheco receptions over under 1.5. If you're leaning over, plus 177. Under is minus 239. I think we talked about this other. So you basically just doubled up on Pacheco on here, huh?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've got him at, I think we both were unanimous on over 4.5 total yards receiving. Do you think he's going to get at least 2 catches?
I don't know. I would like to see Pacheco's catches in the last few games.
He hasn't been used a lot.
Yeah.
So that's why I think the numbers are low on him. But remember, he missed, 10 weeks because of injury. Kind of been used sparingly. So I like him as prop bets in this game because I think you're going to need a lot of speed, and he brings a lot more speed than Kareem Hunt, and Hunt's not a receiving threat. You also have, P. Ryan, but I think Pacheco's the guy to go with. So I like the over 1.5 catches at plus 177. That's, to me, that's really good value there.
Good value there. Thank God. Yeah, why not?
Yeah, Rome, if you're looking at it in the postseason, he has 2 catches for 12 yards.
So 6 yards average a catch. Total? So that's good for one prop bet win.
Out of 2 games, he has 2 catches?
Yep.
God damn.
Regular season, obviously didn't play the full season, but had 12 catches for 79 yards. So if he gets a catch, he's averaging 6 or more per catch. So the first prop bet, it's there. I think this one, you're just questioning whether he gets involved in the passing game twice. I think where you side, where you like this from Aaron's perspective, is that the Eagles defense is going to be tight, and you're not going to have the ability to stretch. You don't have the really guy that's going to stretch the field anymore. So you're looking for holes in the defense, potential dump downs. You're looking for screens or stuff like that. You know, is Pacheco the wrinkle, or is he just the emergency, you know, get the ball out at a certain point? Yeah. So, I think that's what you're looking for. Value on the board out of all the ones Aaron probably put here that we're saying something is a dog, I think probably the best one to try to get a little more value out of this, that, hey, is he going to get, he's at least going to get 6 yards probably out if he gets the one catch. It's just because you get another crap catch over there too. I'll say over too.
Yeah. These are some tough ones, Aaron.
Yeah, some tough ones. I mean, there's a lot of prop bets, but yeah, I think Pacheco undervalued in this game. So I like a lot of action from him.
Not nice. All right. Another Saquon Broccoli. God, now I'm going to say,
hey, Broccoli. Rob, were you taking the over on that?
I'm leaning. Yeah.
Pin him down for the over.
For the over. All right. He only took one stay away. Jalen Hurts interceptions.
Yeah,
he was leaning towards no, right? That's what he said. So pin him for no for that.
You guys just can't put me. I decide what my pick is during the game. All right.
Listen, you have to gamble on these here. Aaron's saying it's a must pick. No stay away. Right.
It's the last game of the NFL season. Just.
All right, Saquon Barkley, 70-plus rushing yards, and a Philly win.
I got the other numbers for you, Rome, that you were asking for.
Yeah, let's hear them.
So 85 yards rushing and a win is plus 123.
I'll take that too.
So not much more value, and you got to get 15 more yards.
Yeah, you're right. Just not much at all.
If he has 100 yards or more rushing and a win, that's plus 140.
Man, they're tough on this, aren't they, this year?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're not trying to give away free money.
No, that's for sure.
So to me, I mean, if you think he's going to get 21 carries, he just has to average basically 3.5 yards or 3.3 yards a carry, which he should do. And if you like Philly to win, you're still getting plus money laying $100. So 1,000 would still win you 1,100. So to me, if you like Philly and Saquon to at least do decent numbers, this is a yes bet.
Well, yeah, this is a guaranteed
again,
bet.
Again, Philly has to win. I mean, Saquon could go for 200 yards and they lose and you lose this bet.
Oh, yeah. No, well, they're winning because Saquon has at least 70 yards.
Yeah. There is 122. If he gets 120 or more in a Philly win, it's plus 165.
That's ridiculous.
But you guys both said he was going to get under 114 yards. So yeah, you would not take that action.
I would not take that action, but I would take at least 80 yards, 85 in that range.
Yeah, I think that's, yeah.
So if you guys want to put the other one there, I'm cool with that too. I'm definitely not, even if I think Casey is going to win, I'm not going to bet for them to win. So
I would lean if towards taking a yes on that one.
Oh, it's a hard
Saquon.
Yes.
Saquon over 70 yards rushing and a Philly win. A
couple of Viagra pills. It's a hard yes. Ooh. Guarantee.
Ooh.
I'm going to say no.
Guarantee. All right. Well, that was a lot of fun.
There's only one more bet to make, Rome.
Yeah. So who you guys got winning?
Well, I kind of didn't say it there at the last, but you needed the Saquon 70 plus yards.
You're sticking to your Philly, stupid preseason Philly pick.
Preseason pick, Rome.
Stupid.
Chiefs with the three-peat. Tight game ends on a Harrison Butker field goal.
You're disgusting.
Three in a row for the Chiefs.
I hope Ben Johnson breaks his leg.
Wow. Well, luckily it's the head coach, so he can break his leg, and that's not going to stop the mastermind from getting Caleb to put up touchdowns. Remember, I told you this, Rome, last Super Bowl that you're going to see without Caleb Williams for a long time this year. So enjoy it while it lasts.
I want odds on that because I want to go back up the Brinks truck and bet that one ASAP. So send me those odds. I'm going, Rome. I'm going to take. I've been back and forth on this game. I'm going to go with the Eagles. I just think they're the better football team. They got the more talented players. They can make the bigger plays. I know the Chiefs don't make a lot of mistakes, but the Eagles are going to force mistakes. Similar to what happened to Mahomes when he played Tampa Bay, that was a dominating defensive front. I think the Eagles can dominate up front too. Just be a matter, like you said, Rome. Well, they call some holding calls or that early false starts that famous tackle likes to make for the Chiefs there.
Yeah.
So give me the Eagles in a tight one. I'm going to say they're going to win. I'll go like 29-23 Eagles.
All right. Let me write this down because I don't think Jason's writing this down here. Jason, what's your score, man?
I didn't give a story. I just told you the Chiefs are going to win.
Yeah.
Aaron's saying 29-23.
Kind of low.
Over under is what? You said 48?
48.5.
It puts the over. And I tend to agree with Aaron. It's going to hit the over. Yeah, I'm going to say Chiefs 27-25.
On a field goal?
Yep.
All right. I got 32-27 Eagles.
Who's the MVP, man?
Saquon.
I'll take Saquon too.
Mahomes.
They hardly ever give it to the losing team, but it's possible.
Well, Jason has the Chiefs winning, so.
Yeah. There's no one else I would name on that team. I just can't see it. Aaron, who do you got?
For MVP?
Yeah.
I agree with you, Rome. I'll take Saquon. I think if the Eagles are going to win, Saquon's going to have a really big game.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, unless Jalen...
He could.
I mean,
he's capable of.
Yeah. I mean, it's dangerous, though, if the Chiefs decide to just stop the run game and play one-on-one with Devontae Smith and Brown.
Jalen had a great Super Bowl the last time they played, and if they would have won, had every right to win that MVP.
But it hasn't been the same since that Super Bowl.
He really hasn't.
He had a costly fumble that got returned for a touchdown that was the difference in that game.
Yeah, that was the only bad play, but yeah. Yeah, no, Saquon, he completes the torture of all Giants fans. That replay on NFL Films or Hard Knocks, whatever it is. Yeah, that's amazing, man. I'm surprised we spent this much time on 10 prop bets, but we got through it and we picked some winners. Aaron, if you want to put some more winners on the X profile, we'd love to post this up for you on game day.
Yeah, I'll shoot you some.
Yeah. And we'll see what happens. I'm feeling pretty good. This gin's making me feel really nice right now. Might walk down the Aces right now and see what's going down.
Aces sounds kind of good right now. Not going to lie. What, they open till what, 2?
2 o'clock. I know the bartender's working tonight. Christine.
Didn't you get thrown out of there and didn't you almost get smacked by a dildo last time you were there, you said?
Because I was alone cheering at the Dodgers' victory.
Yeah, so that was the last time you were in the place, right?
It's a Yankee bar. They were pissed.
Well, yeah.
Even more pissed since they signed every free agent out there.
Yeah, dude, people are not happy. And honestly, I don't have anything else to say because they literally signed everybody.
We will get to baseball.
We will get to baseball.
In the next 6 weeks or whatever
they
it is.
They signed everyone. The NBA is just letting the Lakers have everyone as well, too. Just L.A.
We'll talk about that, too. I might have to move back down just to celebrate all the championships I'll be winning in the next few years. Thanks, guys, for staying up late. That'll do it. Super Bowl edition. That was a fun episode. We out. Peace.